And so I've been praying about it, and I came to you with a couple messages already. One of them being this is, you know, examine yourself. All right? I'm not going to examine you. You don't look to other people who examine you. Examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. You know what he said? See if you're in the faith. That means, are you operating from the connection you have with Christ? Are you operating in your own way of doing things? Amen? Are you operating? And this is everybody has to make that decision on their own. And to understand what I'm talking about, hopefully I'm going to bring that out. But you need to really know and say, okay, Lord, you know, if it was just me down here and you, would I be doing what you asked me to do? Or would I be doing what I want to do? Amen. Amen? Now, we talked about making sure that you check your heart, make sure you're still connected to Him. We're love. We sang that song, We're Love. The easiest examination you can make is this. Am I operating out of an attitude of love? Is everything in me? Or do I look on them and think, and this happened to me yesterday. I was sitting there watching, listening to, I was on a Christian station. I was listening to a video, actually, on the internet, on a Christian program. And this is how bad it can get. See, I come up before you and confess all that stuff. I don't care. I have to deal with God. He's the one that deals with me, and I have to go, okay, Lord. And so I'm sitting there watching this, and they're giving a testimony. They wrote a book about their experiences with the Holy Spirit, and they're giving their testimony of all these things. And I'm sitting there, this is what I'm going. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Well, I don't think so. Nah, I don't think so. And I'm sitting there, and you know what the Lord said to me? He said, the exact things you've been praying for, she's doing. Why are you judging it? The exact things that I'm saying, Lord, this is what we should be doing as a church. And I'm not talking about as a church as a whole here, but the individual parts of that church, each one of us in this place should be operating and living by the Holy Spirit. Amen? When you go out there in the world, you don't go out there as David Shaw, you go out there as the child of the living God. Here I am, carrying the very power that created the heavens and earth within you, being able to release that in every circumstance to bring order out of chaos. That's what God has called us to be and to do. And I'm sitting there judging because she's saying she's doing it. I'm going, why? Because it was all about me, not about God. Amen? I got into me. It's all about me. So what I had to do was examine myself. Are you operating out of love? No. I'm operating out of my own selfish motives. I know you think I'm perfect, but I haven't got there yet. I hope you can still hear the message without being diminished in your thoughts towards me. All you can think of is my failures now. Well, I got a whole list of them. If you want to wait around, we'll go through them. She's got them written down anyway, so it doesn't matter. Trust me, it goes into the bulletin next week. We'll put a list of them. But I had to understand. I had to examine myself. And the Holy Spirit brings it to me. He did not slam me upside the head. He did not condemn me. He did not make me feel like a nothing. He just said, check yourself. And so when God starts dealing with those issues of your life, know this, it's for purpose. Because He wants to do those things through you. Amen? And there are things in all our lives that hinder the move of God moving through us. But understand something. If He can't move through us to bless others, it's hard for Him to move through us to bless us. Amen? Because the first thing when you start operating by the Spirit is that you start being a blessing to others before you see the blessing yourself. Amen. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came down here. He was a blessing to all the others. His blessing came when God took him up out of that grave. Because when he was here, when he walked this earth, the Bible says he was a man of sorrows. He wept over the nation of Israel. He did not party. He did not have a good time. Not that he couldn't. He went to the wedding. He changed the water into wine. He did the things that other people did. He went to people's houses and sat down and ate with them. But his heart was always for God. And his whole purpose in life was to get others to Christ or to God through his sacrifice. Amen. So we examine ourselves. What are our motives? What am I operating out of? Love? Is it about me or is it about God? And really, and that's really the basis of everything we do. So as I was doing this, I started praying about it, and I keep getting more notes. I start and I change this and I change that. And he took me over to John 15. If you go with me there, John 15. He started showing me through these scriptures here that not only are we connected to him, and we'll get into this more, not only are we connected to him, he keeps us connected to him. You understand? What does the Bible tell us? First of all, God says he chose us, did he not? He chose us before the foundation of the world. Before he created the heavens and the earth down here, he chose us for salvation.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
He chose me.
Yes,
he chose me.
Yes, hallelujah.
Get that in your head first. Get that. God chose you.
That's right.
Thank you. Amen? But not only did he choose you, he drew you. He said, Jesus said, nobody comes to me except my Father first. Draw him. So his Holy Spirit was always drawn on us, pulling and tugging at us. He's drawn at us. He never stops drawing you either. He's trying to get you to a closer walk with Christ. He's trying to get you more like Christ because he knows as soon as no sin or none of this world desires, once that's all eliminated and all you have is a desire for him, that's when everything starts coming your way. And I'm not just talking about, look, the things of this world, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. What things? All you have need of down here. God isn't foolish. He knows your needs. What he doesn't want you to do is be caught so much up in getting your needs met, you have no time for him. So he wants to remove those things that hinder you from being closer to him and operating out of his will and his kingdom rather than the kingdom of this world.
Amen.
How can that be? Sometimes you got to say, I don't know. But by faith, I believe it. By faith, I believe what God says. That's the first key you got to get to is first, you got to believe what he says to be true. And you got to stop trying to figure out how it works or why it works or why me or why not them or why this or why that. Look, God answers all those things in his time and his way. He'll show you things. I often go to him, why'd you choose me? Why'd you choose me to pastor? I don't want a pastor. I didn't want a pastor. That wasn't my idea that this is a good way of living. We were doing good before we came into the pastorate. We're still doing better now. I'm telling you, we are doing better in every area of our lives. In every area of our lives, well, at least in mine. I don't know about Diane. I'm not going to answer for her. But so I want you to see this, and this is what you got to see, okay? I want to see this. I want to give you a little. I got this, and I said, "Oh man!" And I have painted a picture in my mind about this, so I can see it now. You understand what I'm saying? I can see it now, and because I can see it, I start receiving from it. Remember what I said, if you can see it, you can receive it. Mm-hmm. Amen? Our problem is because there's sometimes all these things going on in our lives, we can't see what he said. I mean, we can't, not with our physical eyes, with our spiritual eyes. So I want you to get a little bit here and just grab a hold of some of this. This is going to take a few weeks, but let me get this to you. He said, I am the true vine, verse 1 of chapter 15 of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. All right, the vine dresser just means he's the gardener. Amen? He takes care of the garden, and the vine's in the garden. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. What are we talking about? Staying connected. That word abide means to remain, to stay steadfast. Listen to me. If you are not as excited about God as the first day you got saved, then you need to know there's something going on here. I am more excited about being saved and with God today than I've ever been in my life. I come in here on a Sunday, but I was so excited. I couldn't wait till worship was over. I'm sorry. I enjoyed worship. I did. Don't get me wrong. But I'm sitting there. I'm exploding with God has shown me. And I'm just excited. I'm so excited what God is doing, what he is about to do. Not only with me, but with you.
Amen.
Well, I can't see it. Well, that's what I'm trying to get you to do. And I hope I'm doing it through Christ. I hope I'm doing it through the Holy Spirit, not because I just want to stand up here and talk. Amen? I was up out of bed this morning at 3:30 this morning. Couldn't sleep. Sat out in the living room. Dog on my lap. In my my notes, in my computer. I couldn't sleep. I know. I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you by the Spirit, I know what he's doing. Pastor House was here last week. When he left, he says, there's something happening in there. There's something he told me. He said, I'm going to be back because there's something going on in there. I'm telling you, there's something going on. There's something going on. And it's not evil. It's not bad. It's a God thing.
Yes, it is.
This is a God thing. And God is going to start showing you, and pretty soon, remember what I said in the beginning, I think I said about Hebrews 4, he wants you to enter into a rest. In other words, this is stop being trying to be religious and start accepting what he says. Just believing what he says. Now, I'm going to show you in here, this is not something you have to do. It's just something that you are. What I said to you before, he said, you already won the game. Just play the game and run the route he told you to run. Don't try to go your own route. Well, I just think that's the way it's supposed to be. Okay, you don't want to listen to me. Try listening to him.
Amen?
Amen? Listen to him. I don't mind. I don't mind you coming in here saying, you know what God told me? You know what Jesus spoke to my heart? You know what he told me to do? What? Amen? God wants to speak to you, and he wants to instruct you on how to live this life down here in victory. And when you get there, you're going to see that all your works down here were worth something doing. Some of the things I do, and I'll do this, I'll be watching the news or something like that. I'm trying to cut back. I am. I'm tired of listening to this nonsense, but I every once in a while I stumble into it and I go, oh God, not again. But I say to myself, does this produce life? Am I gaining out of this? Is there something positive going into me right now? That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I'm coming out of this better than I went in. See, that's why the Bible says everything you can do, anything you want, but it's not all profitable. Does it profit you? So what we do is say, okay, I got so many hours in the day, I got so many minutes in the hour, I got so many seconds in the minutes. What do I do with them so that when I get done, I come out better than I went into it. Because if you don't look at it that way, pretty soon you look and you're 69 years old and you wasted half your life. Oh, that sounds like me. I think of all the years wasted because I didn't know any different. I'm 69, I still mess up. I'm still doing things that doesn't profit my life. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of demons. I'm not afraid of all that. Are those out there? Yeah. Are they out there to try to mess me up? Yeah. What I'm afraid of is missing God in my life because I got just so much life. The minute I just had is gone. I can't go back and do something new. You understand what I'm saying? There's no time machine. When you get up in the morning, we were just talking yesterday. We got up in the morning, I mean, it was chilly. This morning was even chillier. And we were talking, and we said, you know what? Before you know it, it's going to be snowing out here. And then before you know it, it's going to be spring again. Amen? That's how quick it's going. I don't know about you, but time is... I seem to get up in the morning and it's time to go to bed at night. What did you get done and accomplished today? Yeah. Okay, I did this, I did that. And you list the things you did, and at the end of it, all you did was get tired. Right? You got tired. Look, I believe, and you know if you heard me in some of you might never heard this before. I believe that every one of us have a job to do. You know, the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. But what he's talking about is something different there. But when the workplace becomes your source of life, in other words, you say, I can't take time to read the Bible and find out what God says to me because I'm too busy working over here. So where I work provides for my finances to pay my bills, to buy food, to pay my insurances, to put gas in my car, and to do whatever I like doing, because if I don't have money, I can't do what I like doing, and all of this. And if that stuff becomes your source, that job, what is God? What does God, where does he fit into your life? In any fashion or form. You, like me, I got to do the same thing. I got to figure out what does God... Am I here? And I believe it to be true. I believe what you're on your job as an assignment to be a light to those in darkness on your job.
Amen.
God uses that because nobody else there has the light. Only you. Okay, so Father, here I am. What do you want me to do? He's not going to tell you to stand up there during work hours and preach the gospel. If he does, then praise God. It's time you're going to get moved out. Because you probably will get moved out. But what he wants you to do is there's people hurting there. There's people crying there. They come in with a smile on their face. They just left the house where there's broken marriages. Kids are in trouble and going through all kinds of messes. And they need somebody to give them some positive input.
Amen.
And you are the only one that has life in you to help them to see that there is another life.
Amen.
Amen. It's not about paying your bills. God says, I will meet your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But we have to understand, the game's already won. Your need's already met. Well, I don't see it. Well, that's where faith comes in. Amen. They're already met. God's taking care of it. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. How did we get there? I don't know. But let's go back. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So what he is saying is, I am the vine, you are the branch. Here's where I got the picture. I got a picture of a vine. And I got a picture of a branch, and that branch is me. I'm connected to the vine. When I got born again, I didn't get engrafted into the vine. I became part of the vine. A new branch came out of that vine named David. It wasn't engrafted in. It wasn't someplace else and put into the vine. That's what God showed me. He said, Dave, you didn't get engrafted in like he talks about in the scriptures where you talk about Israel, but he's talking about something else here. He said, when you were born again, accepted what my son did at the cross, accepted the fact that he died for your sins and was buried in a tomb and rose on the third day. When you accepted that and you confessed it with your mouth, he said a new vine or a new branch came out. That's you. Now that new branch coming out is sustained by the vine. The branch does not sustain the vine. You ready? Get it? So as you're the branch, whichever branch you happen to be on that vine, we're right next to you. Hi there. Look. See it? Out of that vine is coming a life force called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming down through the vine. He's always moving in that vine. He gets to the branch where I'm at, and he comes down. And all of a sudden, something happens. Where I was just sitting there like, now, here I am. Here I am. I'm new. I didn't know what new was until I knew that I was new. And the only time I knew what new was is when the Holy Spirit came into the vine and revealed to me, you're new. Oh. I see it now. I see everything. Everything I need is coming out of the vine. See, the branch doesn't have to struggle. It just has to receive. There's no struggling. Well, the branch is getting hungry. Bring down some food. The branch is thirsty. Bring down some food. Well, the branch wants steak instead of a hot dog. All of a sudden, the branch starts pulling and yanking, trying to get over to the steak.
Come on.
Instead of being satisfied with what he's... Amen? But know this, and you have to grab a hold of this, that he is first of all the vine. You have to believe that with all your heart. You've got to see him as the vine. You got to get a picture of it. Look at it. A beautiful vine. Not some warped, distended piece of whatever. Beautiful vine. And out of it all of a sudden comes David. There he is. I see my connection to him. And every time I start struggling against that connection, he reminds me, Dave, you're connected. You're not the one that's supposed to tell the vine what to do. The vine tells you what to do. Hallelujah. Can you get it? Until you understand it, well, yeah, it's a metaphor, yeah. But he's trying to get to us. He wants to paint a picture of your relationship to Jesus. And that he didn't leave you here. He's not someplace you got to reach and try to get to. You say, well, I don't feel him. It's not about feelings. The feelings will come. The feelings will come. Trust me when I tell you. I'm sitting up here, I'm getting goosebumps. But feelings come at times. Joy, all of a sudden, I'm connected. And every time the devil pops up and says, look what you did. I said, I'm connected. I got connections. Amen. I got connections, man. Talk to the vine. Don't talk to me. Talk to the vine. Because see, I don't need to listen to you. I get my instructions from the vine. I don't get them from you. I don't get them from you. I don't get them. I get them from the vine. Talk to him. You get it? You got to get a picture first. He's the vine. He is. Get a picture of it. Second, get a picture of you're the branch off that vine, and you had nothing to do with it except accept the fact that Jesus is the vine. Amen. Also understand this. It's the vine that keeps you alive, not the other way around.
Amen.
You understand? The vine. Now listen, the vine, I want to say it the right way. The vine wants you I'm going to read it in a minute, but the vine wants you to know that because you're connected to him, that you are beautiful. Do you understand that? When you look to the world to make you beautiful, all right, we got to buy new clothes, we got to buy makeup, we got to get the right haircut, we got to do all this stuff. And now, I'm ready to go to church. I'm ready to go there because it ain't going to look much better than it is right there. But there it is. I took all that effort to make myself look good to go out there. So I'll be accepted by them out there. God says you're beautiful. And you are. You are a member of his beloved. You are accepted. You are accepted, and your beauty is everlasting beauty. It's not temporal. You can't wash it off. The purpose for you being part of the vine. Listen. I am the vine, verse 5. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You've called and been called, and you have come out of that vine because God wants you to bear much fruit. Now, we're going to look at what the fruit he's talking about, because I don't want you to think that, you know, Galatians 5:22, you know, in there, the fruit of the Spirit. But it's not just that. God wants you to know that in your joy, there's strength. In your peace, there's life. And it comes from within, not from without. Going to church will not produce the fruit that God wants to produce in your life. Going to him will. Going to him will. His whole purpose is to produce in you the fruit. The Bible says in heaven, there's a river of life flowing out from the throne of God. As it flows, there's trees that grow on the side of that river. The river is a symbol of the Holy Spirit as he comes through. Oh, I'm going to do a message on that, because that's an exciting message right there. I'm going to bring that to you one of these days, God willing. We'll see what happens. But those trees on the side of it, they produce fruit, 12 different kinds, 12 different trees. And they are, the Bible says, they're for healing of the nations. What God is trying to do is bring the fruit out of your life, not into your life, but out of your life, all right, so that you can bring healing to this nation. Now, it's not something you got to run around doing. You don't go around marching around with placards. You don't walk up and down the streets and chanting and all this stuff. I'm not talking about that stuff. People want to do that, that's fine. But the Church of Jesus Christ operates differently. Jesus didn't stand around and proclaim who he was. He just showed them who he was. That's what you're going to do. As that fruit starts to mature in you and starts to produce, others are going to come and pick from your branch that fruit and eat of it. And they're going to be healed physically, spiritually, mentally, marriages, brokenness. It's a work of the Spirit. You're going to walk into a place and get people to say something about you. You say, yeah, I'm connected to the vine. I'm connected to the vine. You're not getting anything off of me. Well, you're getting it from the vine. I just happen to be carrying it right at the moment. I'm just bringing it to you, but know this, it all comes out of the vine. Glory to God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be connected. You know, just say, it's good, I'm connected. And so how do I get connected? Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, buried in a tomb, rose on the third day. Now you're connected. How do I stay connected? By the grace of God. Amen. Yeah, but how do I get to that place? And we're going to talk about this later on. How do I stay there? You know, I want to just remind yourself constantly, I'm connected to the vine. Every time things start going wrong, I'm connected to the vine. I'm connected to the vine. Why do you think Jesus said God knows your needs even before you ask for them? You're connected. God doesn't wait for your answer. He's already sending down through the vine the answer that you need. The answer's already sitting for you. All you have to do is ask for it. Hallelujah. Next week we're going to talk about the fruit and we're going to talk about how to keep that fruit fresh. Amen. But know this today. Say, Jesus, you are the vine.
Jesus, you are the vine.
And I am the branch.
I am the branch.
And I'm connected.
And I'm connected.
I'm connected.
I'm connected.
And I'm going to stay connected.
And I'm going to stay connected.
But not by your works. It's going by God's grace. It's God's love flowing. Amen. It's God doing it. He not only chose you, he drew you, and it's because of that you will abide in him, because of him abiding in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And we bless you and give you glory. Father, we acknowledge. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for all those that are here this morning. I pray for divine revelation of how we are so connected to the vine, Father, that all that we need for life flows down from the vine. As your word tells us, Father, all good things come from above. We thank you, Lord, as you continue to work in us and through us for the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Miss Diane. Wait a minute.